Hey, welcome back. We're going to continue our journey through prayer. It's been a few weeks break, and now we are moving on along, and we have another bracha this week. So we've had so far, just to recap where we've been up to, we're getting up in the morning, going through a lot of the basics, and each week really here is very, very foundational, more so then things we'll see later on in prayer, but here really in the beginning everything is so important. And so after we got on our way, we said blessings. We really said three blessings so far: washing our hands, which we explained why we do that, thanking Hashem for our body, and thanking Him for our neshama, for our soul. And we discussed that each part. And the next thing that we're going to thank Hashem for, or we'll actually see what we'll do, we'll make a bracha on, is the Torah. And there are actually going to be two brachos on it. And then the next part of the prayer is to learn a little piece of Torah. I think this week we'll cover what those brachos are. And then we will next week see that first piece of Torah that we're about to learn. Now, why do we want to start our day with Torah learning? Now, in a certain way, it's funny. We think of it as we'll say the brachos on the Torah and then study Torah. But really, it's the other way around. We want to study Torah, and in order to study Torah, we want to say the brachos first. Okay, so we're going to explain all of that, why that is. We got to explain there are actually two brachos on the Torah, which is unusual. Most things have one bracha on each item. Here, there are two brachos. We have to figure out why that is. And also, another question that we'll keep in mind as we go through this lesson is, what type of bracha is this? If you remember, there were three types of brachos. There were blessings on mitzvos, like we make before we light candles, Shabbat candles. There were blessings on food, of pleasure. And then there were brachos of praise, which is kind of like what we did of the Asher Yatzar blessing, right? The Al Nitilas Yadayim was a mitzvah, the one for Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshama. On our body and our souls, we're praising Hashem for all the parts that we have. So what type of blessing are these two blessings of the Torah? We'll have to keep that in mind also. Okay, so that's a lot of information. Again, why is Torah so important? Why do we want to make the blessing before we study the Torah? Why is that so important? Why are there two of them? What type of blessings are there? In order to get that, let's define our terms. Let's try to understand what is the Torah, okay? Many of you probably heard that word many, many times, the word Torah. But let's explain it. I hope everyone will learn something from this. What is the Torah? So recently I actually met someone, very nice young man, very sincere. And he told me he's been doing a lot of thinking. He wants to figure out what his purpose is, what life's purpose is, how to maximize his life. So I asked him, you know, have you been thinking about that? He said, yeah, I put a lot of time into thinking. So then I asked him, what books have you been reading about it? And he told me he doesn't read anything about it. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, you don't do any reading? I mean, what other, you're asking like big questions. Do you think anybody else in the history of the world has ever asked this question before? Like, what's the point of life? I didn't say to him, I was very gentle. But, the thoughts that crossed my mind are like, you think you're the first person to ask this question? You don't think there's any wisdom out there? And I know the response. I think a lot of people feel like, well, yes, there's a lot, but there's a lot of contradictory wisdom out there. There's so much out there that if I start reading, what's one book on this going to help me at all? But it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, in any other field in the world, you know, in medicine, there's a lot of contradictory sources. And yet nobody would think of practicing medicine from the get-go. Like, hey, I'm not sure I want to heal people. Let me, you know, investigate the human being without doing anything. You know, people have done research about this. Why make the same mistakes that old people make? You should be building on the knowledge of previous research. And that's in medicine and that's in every field. But somehow when it comes to life, Very often people just like, yeah, let me think about it. I'll try to figure this one out. What's life about? How to make the most of it? How to live a happy, meaningful life? And we kind of just jump into it, hoping that'll work. And while it could work, trial and error, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you use the previous wisdom? And in fact, we do have a book. We have many books on this. But the most important, we have a book that was made by the creator of the world, the creator of you, the very person who designed you with all your strengths and all your weaknesses and the world around you that you live in and inhabit, wrote a book for you to read and help you come to that conclusion. You'll still have to think. You can't shut off your mind and just read this book, but you can read this book and with the help of your own thoughts, figure out just about everything you need to know about life, about yourself, about the world around you, about your family, about your role in it and your role in history. And that book is called The Torah. Let me explain. There are really two parts of the Torah. And this is going to be important for our, I know we're getting a little off topic like we always do, but it's important for all of davening and for Judaism and for life, but also for the prayers that we're about to say, for those brachos. The two parts are called the written and the oral Torah. We'll explain. The written Torah are 24 specific books. There's exact amount of words. There are exact words to it. The final book was completed about 2,500 years ago. So they're very old books. The first book was given to us about 3,300 years ago. So they're all about that range, 3,000 to 2,500 years. And these are the books of the Tanakh, they're called, starting from Genesis and Exodus, Bereishis and Shemos. The last book, you know, including things like Psalms and Proverbs, Mishlei and Tehillim. All the way down to the final book is the book of Esther. And in that book is life's wisdom. Now, while it sounds like a lot of books, 24 books, it's really not a lot of words, okay? If you look at, I don't know, the volume that I have comes in a single volume. I forget, I think it's like 1,400 pages, but the truth is that's translated. So 1,400 pages turns out to really, only half of it is in Hebrew or half in English. So it's about 700 pages. I don't know, 700 pages. Some of the Harry Potter volumes were more than 700 pages. And while they have important life lessons, they don't have all, they don't even claim to have all of life's wisdom. So how could we include everything that you have to know in these 700 pages? So there are two answers. We say in Hebrew, we have an expression, shnayim shem achas, two interconnected answers. And one is that this book is not really meant to be read. This book of the Torah, you're not just supposed to read it. You're supposed to study it. It is written very carefully, with a lot of depth, with a lot of choice of exact words and position. And they want you to, the writers want you to not just to read it and understand it superficially, but to really delve into it, compare it to itself from other places and study it. And as it says in our sources, turn it over and turn it over because everything is in it. But there's another equally true answer, and that is that you're right, it's not really all there. It's really all in the oral tradition. Now, there was a tradition for many, many years. These were the only books we had. Nothing else was really written down. And everything else, the way to read these books, the deciphering it, and a lot of other information was given over orally. Eventually, it was written down, and but we still keep that name, the Oral Torah. There's a little more to this about why it was written down, and didn't that kind of defeat the purpose? There's definitely a discussion, but I think that's not necessary for what we need today. So we have these oral. We don't want to write everything down, and you can't really write everything down because it's just too much information. And we, you know, if you don't write it down, then that means you have to go to other Jews to learn it. And that builds the community, and that builds that relationship that we want. You know, we would never want to go to a doctor that just read a lot of textbooks. You have to go for residency and see it in real life. And so, in the wisdom of life, also, we would never want somebody to just read the book of the Torah and declare themselves a wise man, but rather to get this oral Torah to go to the wise people of their generation and learn more about it. So, that's called the oral Torah. If you go to any Jewish library, all those volumes, besides that one volume that we spoke about that contains 24 books, everything else is really included in the oral Torah. Again, it's written down, the Gemara, the Talmud, Shulchan Aruch, all the commentators for all the thousands of years are all considered part of the oral Torah. Until today, ideas that we come up with, questions that we have, insights that we have, is still a continuous live version of that oral Torah. So the two work together where it's really, like we said, if you flip over the written Torah and read it carefully enough, you'll be able to decipher and find hints, or even clearer than hints, right there in the written Torah. But we don't rely on that. That's actually not the true source of all our wisdom. It's really from the oral Torah, the written Torah becoming almost like cliff notes. But they both have a very important role. The written Torah is a gift we got from Hashem. We cherish it. We read it every week in shul, in the synagogue, because it is so precious to us. And the oral Torah also is our pride and joy, and we spend our time turning it over, studying it, toiling in it. That is the Torah. I think we explained the Torah is the book of life. Everything you need to know about life is right there. So, what is the Torah not? It's not a book about stories, because if you know, sometimes people will open it up and see storybooks. It's not just a storybook. It's not a law book, even though there are many laws in it. That's not really the point of it. Torah is never should be should never be confused with any other kind of academic study. It's something much greater. It's written by Hashem, written by God, and we connect him through it. And it's never there just for us to know how to do mitzvos, how to do specific things. It's much bigger and much greater than that. This is why, you know, Torah study is so important. Every Jew really should be learning Torah every day. In fact, the wording of our traditions is that you should be studying it all day and all night. And, you know, like one fellow in the Talmud went over to his rabbi and he said, you know, I want to read another subject besides Torah. And he said, sure, you can read that other, forget the subject, whatever it was. I want to read poetry. And he said, sure, you can read poetry. Just find me a time that's neither night nor day. Referring to this idea that you have to study Torah all day and all night. So he said, just find me a time that's not day or not night, and then you can study your other topics then. Now, when should you do those other things? You know, if you need to study other things, how can you go to college? All those, there are times, obviously. But if you're not busy with anything else, that's certainly a value, a Torah value. You'll find Torah scholars, you know, waiting for buses, by doctor's appointments. You might as well, not might as well, but that is your role, that is your goal, to study Torah, to connect to that wisdom, and connect to Hashem and the Jewish people. And it's really something that's very beautiful. If you've ever met a wise Jew, it's because of the Torah, and this is what makes us wise. This is our connection, and it does so much more than that. It's something I'm personally very passionate about, that a person should spend as much time, but at a minimum, a person should spend a little bit of every day studying Torah, at a lower level, much lower level, once a week. But really, every day, a person should spend just a few minutes studying Torah, even by listening to a podcast. A class like this certainly is included in the study of Torah. Okay. Now let's get to the brachos, and we'll see a lot of what I just, that introduction is included in the bracha. So actually the reason why we want to make a bracha, if you remember, the bracha always sources where things come from. So before I eat an apple, I remember that this apple comes from the ground, comes from the tree, comes from the ground, which really comes from Hashem. And before I light candles. I understand that I'm not just lighting candles, I'm lighting candles because Hashem commanded me. And so before I learn Torah, I remind myself that this is not just an academic pursuit, but this is the word of Hashem. And that is why I'm studying Torah. It's because I'm doing the will of Hashem. And we said there are two blessings. If you're using the book that we're using, it's on page 17 on the top. There are two paragraphs. Both start with blessed are you. Those are our first two blessings, our blessings on the Torah. And actually, they're split up into these two, the oral Torah and the written Torah. According to the Beis Yosef, one of the commentaries explains it like this. And I think it fits very nice if you understand it like this. Although interesting, the first blessing is on the oral Torah. That can be understood that, first of all, the oral Torah we kind of got first. It was originally given from Moshe, from Hashem to us. And later, at its time of death, he wrote down all the pieces of information. So that's kind of more the real form. And the written Torah is just the cliff notes that we have. The oral Torah is also, there are other reasons why the oral Torah goes first, but we'll leave it at that. So let's read it. Baruch atah Hashem, Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. Elokeinu melech olam, the God, the King of the world. Again, acknowledging how great he is, and yet how close and personal he is. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. And these four words always tip off to us that we're about to read a bracha on a mitzvah. So we're about to do the mitzvah of studying Torah. And so you say, Hashem, you sanctified us with your mitzvos and commanded us. So to answer our question, this bracha, at least this one, is a bracha on a mitzvah. V'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah. You have commanded us to toil in the study of Torah. And so we'll read some of these words carefully. Yes, it's considered toil and work, and that's one of the hints that it's the oral Torah. The written Torah, you can read, but the toiling, what you have to delve into, is all considered part of the oral Torah. Our rabbis point out that this word toil, I see in the English here, they write engross ourselves. Okay, same idea. Is the same word as the word asek, which means a business. And it teaches us that the Torah study should be counted as a business, where every, you know, someone who is in business, an entrepreneur, his mind is always circling back, if he wants to be successful, to that business. It's something that really is all day and all night, even if he's not physically in the business, but his mind always circles on back there. It tells us to grab, you know, same way a person, entrepreneur, will grab every lead. Torah also, anytime we have a few moments or we see a book that will bring us a new insight to Torah or a person that will bring us a new insight to Torah, we should grab that and run to it. So it's definitely considered like a business. Now, sometimes that's, I see in this Siddur, it's one big paragraph, and that's how it is. In the English and the Hebrew, although some understand this as a second part of the blessing, but we're going to read it as one big blessing. V'harevna, we continue, and we say, in order for us to be busy with Torah, really, there's one way to do that. There's a story that said that there was a fellow who was studying Torah and couldn't understand what the words were. He was trying to read books from hundreds of years ago, didn't understand what it said, and he said, let's pray for a moment, and let's pray to Hashem. And so he said, okay, sure. His friend said, what should we pray for? I assume pray to understand. He said, no. Let's pray to enjoy the Torah, that the Torah should be sweet for us. He said, why should we pray for that? He said, well, if it was really sweet and we really enjoyed it, we would come to an understanding. If it was really important to us, we would come to an understanding of it. So that is actually the first words, v'harevna, or the next words, v'harevna, Hashem Elokeinu, estivri sarascha, befinu. You should make the words sweet. This is probably the number one. Torah is very, very big. Again, if you go to any library, you'll see it's quite large, especially the oral Torah that we're now discussing. What should you study? Which part is most important to start from? The answer is whatever is sweetest to you, whatever you enjoy studying. It could be law, history, or something more intellectually stimulating, analytics, Talmud. But definitely a person should always be studying, and we ask Hashem to help make it sweet. It is sweet. It's inherently sweet, but sometimes there are different parts that talk to different people, And so we ask that he make it sweet so that we can always toil. It's very hard to work day and night on something that we're not enjoying. So we ask that we enjoy it. Befinu v'fi amcha beis Yisrael. Interesting. We don't just mention our mouths, but we mention the mouths of all the Jewish people. It should be sweet for everyone. This goes back to what we're saying. If we're talking about the oral Torah, the way oral Torah is studied, the written Torah I can read on my own. It's all written down. But the oral Torah can never be studied on our own. We have to do that in a group. That's how I get the oral tradition. And even today when it's written down, very hard to read and really understand without a teacher, a mentor, chavrusa, which is a friend to bounce ideas off of. So we're asking for the Torah, not just for ourselves. This is a group effort, which is really one of the amazing parts about it, that wisdom is not just our own. Together, it's a binding experience with all the Jewish people. We're going to study Torah. We continue. V'niya anachnu v'tetzo'enu. I'll read the version that's here. Let us and our offsprings, and the offsprings of all Jewish people, we and all my offsprings should study this Torah. There should be something, because the same way we understand that Torah is a tradition, it's an oral tradition that's been going back for many generations, we shouldn't stop. We should not be the last link in the chain. We should continue that chain for many generations, and not just us, all the Jewish people. We should all know your name. Now, that's interesting that he says, know your name. This is probably a more Kabbalistic idea and one of the more spiritual ideas, that one of the importance of Torah, I kept discussing the wisdom of how to live life, but in a certain way, it's the wisdom of knowing Hashem, of knowing what he really is and who he really is. That is certainly an aspect, probably the more true and deeper aspect of the Torah. I think that's enough said about that. We should learn Torah for its own sake. So we don't want to learn Torah in order to accomplish something, even in order to practice mitzvos. We want to learn Torah because the Torah itself is valuable. Just that study of Torah, sometimes a lot of the areas of Torah are less than practical, but we understand that all of wisdom is connected. And just by studying that Torah, we connect to Hashem. We connect to the Jewish people, and really we connect to our true purpose and all of life's wisdom. I apologize if that's said a little quick, but that is the rough idea. So we pray to continue to learn for that sake and not for anything else. Baruch atah Hashem, and like all brachos, or most brachos, we start and end with a bracha. Hamelamed Torah la'ama Yisrael. That's a very interesting words to use. Blessed are you who teaches Torah to the Jewish people. We'll see on the next blessing, it's a little bit different than this. Here, we understand that Hashem is actually teaching us. A Jewish tradition is that when he is, when we're learning, really, there's a story that when Moshe went up to the heavens to receive the Torah, he tried to understand it, and after a while, he wasn't getting it. And he tried for 40 days to understand the Torah, and in the end, Hashem said, okay, you worked hard enough. Here it is as a gift. You know, sometimes when you're trying to think of an idea, kind of, how do you think of an idea? How do you come up with an idea? Where do you go in your mind? So you kind of play with the thing that you're thinking about, toy around with it, look at it. Even if it's something intellectual, you toy around with the idea till all of a sudden, like, something kind of falls in, a new idea, and you're like, whoa, that actually makes a lot of sense. Let me see if that works. Where does that fall from? You know, you had this idea, you're toying it over many, many times, and all of a sudden it just falls in. Actually, the Yiddish word for an idea is an einfall, which kind of means, you hear even in the English, it says einfall, fall in. That's what ideas are. Ideas are not something we create, but we kind of work on it enough, and that's how we start our blessing. I'm going to work in the Torah and really toil over it with the rest of the Jewish people, continuing that chain. But ultimately, these ideas come from Hashem, and they're a gift from Hashem. Hashem is the one who teaches us Torah. And that's a very powerful idea. Okay, let's keep going. I know we're doing a lot today, but maybe I'm speaking a little quickly, but you can slow down the speed if you need to. I think I want to cover some ground. And the next blessing is Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher bach rabbanu mikolo amim v'nasan lanu estera so. So here, like I said, this is going to be about the written Torah. It's interesting. It's not going to take on the form of a blessing on the mitzvah. It doesn't say asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, that you commanded us. Well, if it's not a, doesn't say that, then it probably is not a bracha on the mitzvah. It seems almost like the mitzvah is to toil on the Torah, like we said in the last blessing. And here it's a blessing of praise, of thanking Hashem for the Torah. Understanding this is not something that we just have to do, but that we're lucky enough to do. So we thank Hashem, understanding again that it's from Hashem. Asher bach rabbanu, that you've chosen us, mikala amin, from all the other nations. We're a chosen people. And the way we were chosen, the time we were chosen, was when he gave us the Torah. V'nasan lanu estera so. He gave us the Torah. So you see here, it's not about the studying the Torah, because it's about the written Torah. There's nothing to, we read it, but it is not studying, there's not delving, there's not building it on our own. It's ours to receive and be that receptacle. And Hashem is the one who gave it to us. Baruch atah Hashem nosei haTorah. You gave us the Torah. That's what he did at Mount Sinai. He gave us the physical Torah. So we thank him for that physical Torah, unchanging, unwavering over all these years. And that is the way we introduce it. That is, I think we covered all the questions that we started off with. Our next step, again, this is why Torah is so important. A person can't really live, or it's the right way to live, a world of Torah. And so one of the ways we'll start our day is with the study of Torah. But that Torah has to be connected with a bracha. Before you study Torah, and we'll see next week which pieces of Torah we're going to study. You could probably figure out by now that we're going to study a little bit of written Torah and a little bit of oral Torah. We'll do a little bit of both. They're right here on this same page. Very choice pieces. But before we do that, we have to say the brachos, because the brachos always remind us of the source. We have to remember that it's a mitzvah. We have to remember that it's from Hashem. It's not just any other kind of subject. We have to remember that we need to toil over it, that it's a gift, that we're lucky to have it, that it's part of connecting to all the Jewish people, and that it's something that we hope we got from our forefathers, and we hope to continue on to the next generation. That is what Torah is. That's what we're about to study. And so before that, we make this blessing, acknowledging its source. That's the bracha on the mitzvah, and thanking Hashem for this gift. And I encourage you. I don't know if that passion came across, but again, studying Torah is something that's very, very important to me. And a person should take a few minutes every day studying a little bit more. It's really what life is about. I'll just say one more thing, you know. There's an expression in America that ignorance is bliss. In Judaism, we say ignorance is death, okay? Ignorance is bliss means, and I understand it, you know, if you go to the, if you come to a big buffet and there's a lot of good foods, and every single food has its nutrition information on it, so it's very hard to enjoy yourself. It's much better not to know. I don't really know where it's coming from, what's going on. Just kind of eat it and enjoy. But we know that's not the truth. Let's say one of those pieces happens to be actual, not just bad for your arteries, but actual poison. And then you die. So you can't say, oh, wow, that was so blissful because I didn't know. Don't tell me. I'd rather not know. Because those things actually do have an effect on us. And ignorance is death. And if ignorance is death, the opposite of that, education is life. And Torah is life. That is what, that is how we live the most meaningful life, and that's why it's such an important part of a Jew's life, an important part of our day. We should make sure to study a little bit of Torah every day with this proper appreciation through the brachos. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.